2018 sound.
Oh!
We're getting the hang of it.
We are.
I forgot.
And then we remembered. Welcome.
Hello, friends.
Hi, all of us, all you lovers and lovies and love time.
Ooh.
I don't know. I just wanted to
all
say
all the love.
I wanted all the love.
All the love that's ever been.
It's all here right now.
Well, friends, we are so happy to be here with you. Today is, I think, one of the coldest days in history in New York City. So if you hear a little annoying sound in the background of this podcast, it's just the heat, and we would not dare podcast without it. So bear with us.
We did play with all of the dynamics in GarageBand to see if we could get rid of it.
Kristen taught me all kinds of words, like reverb.
Mm-hmm. And I kept... EQ.
EQ.
You have to put your lips together as you say it.
EQ. Mm-hmm. So we learned lots of things, and this is where we settled. So we hope the quality is all right for your listening ears, and we hope that you are so delighted by what we say that perhaps this background noise doesn't bother you so.
And on that note...
We
got a podcast request here in 2018.
We love a podcast request. If you have podcast requests for us, feel free to send them to us because we like serving your desires.
We really like serving your desires. So this comes from Elaine Catherine Watson in Portland, Oregon.
Elaine!
It says, "Hey, loves... Kristen and Natalie." We are her loves, by the way.
Oh, of course we are. We're all of your loves.
Do you love that we're telling you that we are your loves? She says, "I have a request/idea for a podcast episode. I'd love to hear your thoughts/riffs on how to dance with the part of you that feels super energized/excited/engaged around your work. And then that occasional other part that sneaks in and is tired/kind of mopey/wants to vacate adult responsibilities for a while. I suspect there's a thread of nurturing the masculine and feminine here, so that creative engagement and gusto and rest and inspiration refilling happens in a rhythmic, balanced way. But this is something that I've been noticing myself bumping up against recently."
Well, and Kristen and I were actually talking about this in a few different ways this morning. One of the things we were talking about is we are meant to operate in the same way that Mother Nature and the seasons are meant to operate. Now, many of us in the hemisphere that we are in New York, in the Eastern Coast, are in winter right now. And even Chinese medicine or Ayurveda, all the traditions will tell us that winter is not a time to plant seeds. It is not a time to go around and be fiery and getting everything done and be out and about and moving things forward. Winter is a time for regeneration. It's a time for hibernation. It's a time for getting deep into listening. It's a time for taking action on our dreams that look more in the feminine energy than in the masculine. So we often will teach on the masculine is the action step, going out in the world with passion and gusto and drive to manifest. But what we want to manifest wants to come through the feminine. It wants to start in the feminine, and it reminds us that winter comes and puts a blanket of snow on the earth so that the seeds that have already been planted in spring and summer can do what they need to do under the surface, in a realm of hibernation, in a realm of rest, in a realm of restoration, in a realm of listening, intuition, nurturing, so that when all the snow melts, the sun starts burning hot again, we start getting more of that fire energy, more of that warmth, more of that activation that we associate with the masculine. We then can see the sprouts come up through the earth, and we can feel the energy of manifestation in spring, summer. So even nature is telling us that different times of the year, different times in the process of the birth of your creative baby, different times in your own rhythm, there are different types of action to take so that we neither move ourselves into a position of burnout or lethargy, and we're always finding that happy medium in between.
And on that note, we also want to pay attention as we're listening to the natural rhythms of our body and of the season, that resistance has a way of being sneaky. So any time that we are dedicating ourselves to our dreams, our creativity, our soul work, the part in us that wants to be the most evolved, best version of ourself, this impulse inside to create and to manifest and to dream and to release your soul into the planet, is going to be shown up at the same time with this counterbalance of resistance, which can show up as fear, as limited thoughts, as that mopey, dopey feeling that you're talking about.
Anything that will be resistance is something where there's momentum, and it's the thing that's going to stop the momentum.
Exactly. It's as if our ego is the human side of us, right, is scared, we talk about how big we can get, so that it will manifest in these ways of turning down our inspirational flames. Tony Robbins, right? This is something that he talks about that I love and I just get juiced on. He talks about getting himself into state every morning. And I think what people don't realize is that inspiration is a mindset. So we have to prime our minds, we have to prime our souls to be ready to go out there and slay the demons on the battlefield. Like, it makes me think of the Bhagavad Gita, right? We're going out there on the battlefield to do our sacred work. And part of what we have to do is slay those demons.
And we have to know where we fall on the spectrum to know how we need to prime ourselves. Now, it's again, there's like several parts to this. If you are a singer, then your priming is going to be to do some kind of vocal warm-up to get your chords ready and activated to go and sing your song. That being said, if you may have a different kind of voice than someone else, so you may need a different kind of vocal practice. So if you are someone who is really prone to isolating, being silent, you love being in your feminine energy, you love just getting all the ideas and being juicy and being under a blanket and daydreaming, then for you, even a morning priming practice that has to do with something like meditating or being really still and quiet may not be as activating for you as having a dance party, as moving the energy, doing some yoga or chanting, something that's more vibrationally active. Now, on the other hand, if you are someone who is like all fire, all gusto, all movement all the time, you cannot sit still, then we want to find a practice that's going to balance you in more stillness, in more listening.
So what we are offering is that whoever you are, whatever your art is, that you find a priming practice, find a way of getting you, if you want to use the word in state or in flow, I like the word in flow, right? Is finding a way to get inside and turning yourself on for the work you're about to do. You don't want to sit down and just start the work without turning yourself on first. You know how computers, you click the button and then that sound happens and then it's like, vroom.
Yeah,
and
it revs up.
You can hear your computer revving up. In the same way, it is our job to rev ourselves up. Now, often we think that like someone else is going to rev us up for us. It reminds me of another place in our lives.
My mind just went.
I know, where it's our job to turn ourselves on, right? It's not our partner's job to turn us on. It's our job to turn us on.
Well, and can I just go there for a second?
Yeah, please
and be
do.
All sexy about it?
Yes.
Many of us believe that if our partner in a romantic, intimate, sexual situation would only act a certain way or touch a certain place or do a certain thing, then that would allow us to rev our engine up.
Yes.
What I would like to offer you as an exploration, something that I have been looking into and studying quite deeply, is actually if you notice, one thing that Abraham Hicks talks about is when you find yourself in a thought that's negative or that isn't serving you, don't obsess about the thought. Instead, obsess about who you were before that thought came in. What were you thinking before that thought was allowed through the door is actually more important than the thought that showed up. And so, if you think about that in an intimate or sexual or dream experience in operating from what you want to create, when you get into the place of, if only someone else would do this, then I would feel, then what we want to say is, what happened that you abandoned yourself before that thought appeared? Because that thought appeared because something in you went away and went into someone else as my source and supply. But I guarantee you that the thing that was starting to rev your engine was when you were focused on how you felt. This feels good. This feels awesome. Ooh, I'm starting to get turned on. And then the thought went to, I want more of that. How can you give it to me? But if you stay with the feeling tone of the revving, then it is natural that nature will take its course, your partner will tune into your rhythm, or your dream will tune into your rhythm, and you will continue to expand the feeling tone. But the second we abandon the priming, the revving up, the turning on energy to say something else needs to happen to increase this, then we actually decrease it.
I was talking to a friend last night who was saying that they've set up their life so they can be creative, but they've set everything up so they can be creative, and now they're experiencing all these financial problems. And they were saying, the financial problems now are such a weight on me, I can't be creative, even though I've set up my time now to be creative, right? It's that looking to the thing outside in order to give us something from the inside. Now, what happens with inspiration many times is it descends when we're feeling good, because we're connected. So when we're feeling good, we're feeling God. The flow is open. You're at a concert, right? You're at a wonderful concert in Central Park, not right now because it's cold, but you're feeling good. Something's happening in your life where you're feeling good. And in that moment, inspiration comes. And you get an idea. I have an idea for a screenplay. Or I feel so jazzed about life, I'm going to finally open that business I wanted. Right? But you're in a peak experience, which allows the inspiration to come in because you're feeling so good. And the next morning you wake up and you get in a fight with your partner. Or you see that bill on the table. And all of a sudden what happens is your vibration closes down, your energy closes down. And then when you go to work on the thing that you were inspired about last night, you're not open in the same way.
Right, so you're bringing the energy of the lethargy or let down or not enoughness to the project. But what a baby needs to be born is nourishment.
Yes.
A baby, even in its gestation period in a mother's belly, needs a certain type of nourishment, a certain type of food to grow it. And so if we are feeding our baby dream the kind of food of not enough or lack or, you know, you are causing me trouble with my finances, then it is just not able to grow.
So we are going to offer and suggest that you develop a practice for yourself before you start working on your dream, before you go out for that audition, or you start to do your vocal warm-ups, or you sit down to write, that you find a way to turn yourself on and get yourself in that inspired state before you go into your art. It's like, you know, when you're going on a date, right? And you're going on a date with someone you think is sexy. So you light candles as you're taking that bath, or you put on all of your favorite like perfumes and lotions. You maybe even bought a sexy new dress. You got yourself ready for the event. Mm. You want to get ready for your dharma, like you're getting ready for a lover.
Well, I was just thinking that even the way you prepare for a conversation, many of us walk into a conversation with our kids, with our partners, already anticipating how they're not going to agree with us.
Yes.
So we go in ready for battle with our defenses up, with our arguments already rehearsed in our head of, well, if you say this, I already have my retort ready. Mm-hmm. But then we're actually putting energy into our dream conversation being a struggle. We're putting energy into the conversation not going the way we want it to go.
Mm-hmm.
In the same way, when we start saying, once I get all my ducks in a row, then I'll go after my dream, then what we are actually already saying inlaid in that thought pattern to our dream is, you are an inconvenience, so I therefore need to do a whole bunch of things to make it possible that you can even happen. As opposed to looking at the dream with the energy of, you, the second you come in my life, the second I get in communication with you, it's going to be easy. I could do it all day. All I want to do is be with you. I feel excited and delighted every time we spend time together. So my preparation for that date with my dream or my dharma has to be best case scenario, excitement, joy, activation, turn on. It has to be.
Can you imagine if we turned ourselves on for everything in our life? If we turned ourselves on for our best friend, if we turned ourselves on for every meeting that we have, if we did the priming work that you just talked about before we go into an event, because in that is also setting an intention.
That's right. Right? That's
it's being an intentional creator for the experience that you're about to have.
So being an intentional creator has nothing to do with the fruit that you create.
Mm-hmm.
Being an intentional creator has to do with the energy of which you bring to everything you create, including the moments before you are with the thing.
Yes, and I was sharing with Natalie earlier that I was listening to our boyfriend, Michael Beckwith.
Oh, Michael, do you know how much we love you? I mean, we are in constant preparation for our love affair with Michael Beckwith.
Constant.
Constant preparation.
I hope he knows, Michael, if you're
every
listening.
Time we go to Agape, we get so dressed up. Just for the mere chance that he glances our way.
You know what just came in right now? Michael spends so much time in meditation that I think if we just bring our intention into our meditation, he's going to hear it. Be like, those girls in New York.
Those girls in New York.
They keep talking to me. So Michael says, when we need circumstances to change, it's like circumstances in the outside world to change in order to be okay, we've actually projected, so what the power that we have within, outside, to distance ourselves from how powerful we are.
Ooh.
Right? So all of the love is within. All of the peace is within. All of the abundance is within, but we're scared of it.
All the capacity to make our dream come true, as opposed to wait for someone else to give us money, resources, job, opportunity to make that dream come true.
It's all inside. All the romance you've ever been looking for your whole life is inside of you, right? It's all in us. But because we're actually scared of how powerful we are, we project the havingness of it out there in the world to feel distant from it so that we can make a victim story. And all we're doing is we're cutting ourselves off from our power flow.
And it's impossible. Many of us who are in relationship, especially with a romantic partner, understand that the second you need someone else to do something or be something for you to be okay, then you have set up a circumstance where they will only ever show up for you in one of two ways. They will do exactly what you expect of them, and therefore you will feel relief, or they will not be able to provide what you expect of them, and therefore you will feel disappointed. But never in that paradigm, never in that setup will you feel joy, happiness, or loved.
Isn't the same thing true with our art? Don't we set up the paradigm that I'm going to get the job and so I can feel relief?
Yes.
Or I'm not going to get the job and then I'm going to feel disappointed?
Right.
But not inside the communion of the joy.
And what's so fascinating, as you know, someone who's worked for, you know, over 10 plus years, you know, doing my art, doing what I love. I've been on many, many sets all over the world. I've been in many plays all over. What's interesting is the moment that you as an artist feel the best is the moment that the agent calls and says you booked the job. The moment that you're on set doing the job, you're cold, you're tired, the days are long, and the only place it looks good is on social media when you're like, look at me living my dream.
Yes.
But it's the validation of the booking that makes you feel so good. You have to show up to it, but it, the actual thing itself, is always work, just like everything
yes.
else. But you can choose to see it as play. You can choose to show up to that 17-hour day and see it as joy and see it as play. And we're going to tell the airport
story.
Sorry,
you saw it, like,
yeah,
go find my face.
I saw it download. You get to choose, but the bottom line is there is this myth where we think, before we live into our dream, it's all this work and hustle. And then once our dream gets here, it's rainbows and unicorns. Guess what?
Mm-hmm.
The perception that you bring to the thing determines what the thing is. So you can decide it's rainbows and unicorns right here, right now. And if you don't, then you will inevitably get to the living of your dream. How many people think, if I just have the house, if I just have the money, if I just have this, I'll be happy? You get to the thing, you're still not happy.
Yeah.
You're the next thing.
That's right.
Because you cannot have a different ending to a journey that's in a different setup than you created the journey.
I heard Beckwith say it so good. I'm so Beckwithy now. He said, a midlife crisis is either you get everything you want and you're still not happy, or you don't have anything you want and you're still not happy.
That's right.
Right?
Yes. So this brings us to the airport. So I don't know if those of you around the world heard, but the East Coast had a very, very big snow situation. I think they were calling it like a snow cyclone or something crazy.
Right.
And it was basically the biggest gust of winds, the most snow, the most craziness that you could ever imagine. Going all up the east side of America into Canada. So, of course, Kristen and I and our best friend John DeVisi, who you know from this podcast, booked a flight for the day of the snow cyclone. Now, we were so excited and just thought, well, whatever happens is going to be great.
We booked these flights like a month ago. We had no idea.
We had no idea the snow cyclone was coming. So the day of the snow cyclone, I am at my apartment and I'm going to pick up my lovely friends. And I keep calling cars to come and pick us up. And as soon as I would put in that we're going to the airport, car after car would cancel. Like, I am not going to the airport. Finally, this wonderful driver came to pick us up. And I was starting to feel a little bit of the stress energy of that we were going to be late. And even in the time it took for the car to come get me, to go to Kristen's house, to go to John's house, we're already half an hour late. We're driving to the airport. Now, it was, on one hand, absolute chaos. It's whiteout conditions. People are slipping all over the road. Cars are pulled over everywhere.
Left and right, cars were stopping in the snow that they could not move forward.
In the middle of the street, no one can move. Now, what was happening with us, in the midst of this happening, we're having the best conversation ever.
Yes.
With our best friends. Our driver's wonderful. And it felt like snow plows and police cars just kept coming in front of us the whole time, clearing the way to the airport. So we just felt, well, obviously we are meant to be at the airport today, because it keeps that the way keeps getting clear when everyone else is turning around. Now, it wasn't, I would say, 20 minutes or so after we get to the airport, we get through security, you know, we're getting all the things for our flight, we're getting our snacks. Our flight gets canceled, and very, very shortly after that, the entire airport is closed.
Mm-hmm.
Closed, shut down, no one is leaving, no one is coming, the airport is closed. And then ensues the story of Kristen, John, and Natalie at JFK Airport for 8 hours.
Woohoo! But in this situation, we made a choice to have a great time.
The best time we could have.
Because nothing is more fun than being with my two best friends. And it doesn't matter where we are. We could be in Paris or we could be at JFK. What we do ends up being the same, right? We get to make each other laugh. We get to be silly. We get to have fun. We get to get into the deepest conversations ever. And the joy is something that we bring to the situation. And friends, we had so much fun with a gentleman at TSA.
We had so much fun. So then it became the most fun, infectious game to notice how others would get so into fear, so into chaos, so into upset, so into inconvenience. And as we took a stand for that, a song could come on and we could have a spontaneous dance party, or that we could just make each other laugh so much, or we could do a fun photo shoot, or we could go sit in massage chairs, you know, for an hour and just be silly and make ourselves laugh.
Do you remember when you were like, the next song that gets played determines our fate, and it was Footloose, and then we just started dancing and singing like we were Kevin Bacon to Footloose, and everywhere we go, like, people were just watching us march through the airport terminal going, Footloose, Footloose, kick off your Sunday shoes.
But that was just such an inspiration, right? Kick off your Sunday shoes. Kick off who you think you need to be in this situation. Kick off that you think you have to be pissed off or inconvenienced. Kick that off, and what else is possible? What else is possible? Now, what we ended up discovering was that The TSA employees were desperate for a laugh. The people checking your suitcase are desperate for a smile. The people that are, you know, stuck with their kids screaming at them are desperate for a moment of levity. And you, at any moment in your day, in your life, can choose which side of the street you're on. And so we just chose all day to be on the side of fun. And man, did we make friends.
We made so many friends. And we laughed. The quality of our good time. So just like you turn yourself on, you also entertain yourself. You bring joy to your own life.
It made me think that the reason the three of us decided to book a trip to LA together mm-hmm. was to go away on a vacation, to spend time together, to be in light, to be in levity, to be with our friendship. Well, guess what, friends? We didn't need a vacation to make that happen. The thing leading to the thing is also a place where that can happen. So what happened is we ended up, after, you know, roughly 12 hours, just going home. And when it came time to reschedule our flights, we didn't bother because we got the vacation that we needed. We never had to leave the airport. So you, in preparation for your dream, for your vacation, for your conversation, for your whatever, you don't have to go anywhere to bring that thing to you. You just have to be the thing.
I love what you said of the idea that on the way to the thing was so much fun.
Right.
Right? And that's how it is with our dreams. Tennessee Williams said, success is jealous. It won't come while you're watching, right? So we want to be having such a great time that success comes and gets us because it knows where the party's at.
Because it wants to be part of the fun. It's mm-hmm. like, hey, that train looks fun.
Yes.
Have you ever been in that circumstance where you see a group of people over somewhere and it looks like they're having the most fun and you're like, I want to be part of that party.
Hey, get me over there.
Well, don't we want to court and woo and seduce everything we want to come where we are instead of always chasing it?
So this is why we want to prime ourselves. Before we go into doing our sacred work, we take ourselves to that vibration. Just like we brought the fun, we bring the inspiration. And something that I like to do before I sit down to write, or I even sit down to do emails now, it's part of my... If you've been listening to this podcast long enough, you know that the Divine and I have been having lots of conversations about emails. is realizing that the sacred work, the sacred play that I get to do on the planet is given to me from the Almighty, right? So that there is an opening up of like, I can't wait to be your hand on the planet. I can't wait to be your vessel of love. I can't wait to be your Mother Earth energy in this project, in this script, in this art. I can't wait to represent you. Thank you for the chance.
Yes.
Thank you for the opportunity.
We are the only ones who can do it. Only we are both consciousness, a soul, Purusha, and a body.
Mm-hmm.
Only in our form. Even the divine, cosmic consciousness, the universe, it's not in a body. It manifests itself through us. So we are the ones that get to decide how it goes, when it goes, who it goes, and who we are in the going of it.
We just decide, are we going to be open to let that divine consciousness come through us? So we can open ourselves up to it, or we can close ourselves off. Just like we can open ourselves up to play and joy in the airport, or we can close ourselves off. So one of the things that I teach writers when doing my writing class is we do this thing where we write a contract to our idea. And we do this as a way of honoring that this idea came to us and it's coming through us. And we make a commitment to keep showing up for it, right? Because it's easy to get hot and heavy one fun time.
Mm-hmm.
But in order to raise the baby, you've got to show up every day, right? So we write this contract. And something interesting happened because I was sharing this with one of my online clients. And she said, I sent her a sample. She said, can you send me a sample contract so I can understand what you're talking about writing a contract with your idea? So I sent it to her. She sent me back this email, and it was so beautiful. Friends, I showed Natalie immediately.
And then we called her.
Yeah, and we called her, freaking out. To
tell her how obsessed we are with her.
Yes. So let me, we're going to read the her email and also an example of what this contract looks like. So just to totally out myself, I'm going to read you a contract that I have with this poetry book I've been writing.
And friends, can I just say, when Kristen shared with me her poems for the first time, I actually looked at her and had rage and anger. And so I said, angry. For now on, I'm the boss, and you don't get a say. And I was a big fat bully to Kristen. Mm-hmm. Because I was like, how dare you have this talent inside of you and not bring it to the world? And how dare you be a spiritual teacher who tells other people to bring their gifts to the world? Enough. And I literally said to her that if she didn't take these poems and put them out in the world, then I was going to do it without her permission.
I have been withholding my poetry from the world. It was something I just did for myself. And then I started hearing in meditation, you have to publish these. And I do what I do sometimes with the divine. I'm like, no. No. That was like, remember when the divine told me to teach? And I'm like, hell no. So, I got so clearly in my meditation that I had to publish this, so eventually I had to tell Natalie. And the name that I have been given from the cosmos is Love Affair with the Divine, because anyone who knows me knows that I like a hot love affair, and I love me some universe guide consciousness. Like, it's my two favorite things. So I'm going to bring them together in one book. But just like how Rumi wrote love poetry, to the universe, to God, to the divine. This is what this is. So here's my contract. My dear, sweet love affair with the divine. I love you, I love you, I love you. You are the song of my heart. You are the truth of my being. You are, you are, you are. I'm scared of you because you are my very soul. And because you are my very soul, I know I must not withhold you from the world. I know you are what wanted to come to this planet. You, true you, holy you, you have a message. You are the light. You have come to transform my life, and I will say yes to the call. The time is now. You are the love I have been waiting for. Thank you for choosing me. Now let's get hot and steamy and dangerous with this mother. Forever yours, Kristen.
I mean, so friends, when we talk about priming yourself for your idea, for your dream, can you imagine watching Kristen read that? Can you imagine what happens to her spirit, her body, her voice, how electrified she gets by even reading that contract out loud, by writing that contract? So now can you imagine going to work on that book of poems from that place of contract? That is what we are talking about. We are not saying, let me go write this pilot so I can make money. Let me raise my kids so I will feel good. And hopefully they will be good people. We are saying, what turns you on about creating this thing? Because if you don't feel like you are going to have an orgasm as you are creating it, then you will bail. That resistance will get too much.
Well, I also have a prayer incantation that I also say before I write poems. And it's really dirty, friends. Talk about turning yourself on.
R-rated podcast.
So when I talk to the divine presence, this is what I say before I write my poetry. My sexiest lover, divine one, talk dirty to me. Take me places. Fill me up. Make me surrender. Tie me up with words. Punish me with the best sensations imaginable or unimaginable. I desire to be used by you. Fill me with everything that you are.
Hey now.
Hey now.
Hey now.
That's how I talk to my creativity.
Your creativity is your muse, friends. The muse is not outside of you. It is inside of you. It is talking to you. It wants to be romanced by you. It wants to be courted by you. You have the power. It is inside of you to create this contract, to create from the way that you create, from the way that you were created, friends. We came into this world because of the union of two hot, sweaty bodies. Mm-hmm. And so we will create from the same energy.
Now, I sent the first contract I read to you and another contract to my incredible, beautiful, wonderful client, Marla Rotman.
Marla! We promised Marla that we were going to make her famous.
We said, Marla, get ready.
Get ready, Marla.
She is putting her lipstick on. Now, Pastor Marla Rotman is in Minneapolis. And she, you guys, this woman is no joke. She is strong. She is powerful. She's connected. She is visionary. There's nothing she can't do.
She is listening. She is the best life makes.
She is the best that life makes. So I send her contracts and she sends back this email. And it says, OMG, these contracts are wedding vows. I just married a couple on Saturday, and they chose to write their own vows. When couples choose this, I typically instruct them to simply state their promises, vows, but without fail, all my couples always start with how much they love each other. No one has ever written vows. They always start with feelings. It's as though a promise can't be made without the acknowledgement of foundational love. These contracts you wrote start with the love first, promise second. There's something to this. Like all of our contracts should be grounded, founded, powered in love. Okay, Marla.
Marla.
Okay, Marla.
And that is exactly what we are getting at, is that you cannot be in a commitment mm-hmm. with a creative project, with a partner, with a child, with a job, without every day being in love. Being in love that you get to be the steward of it. Being in love that you are in relationship with it. That your one and only is the one that you wake up and choose it to be. As you choose yourself as the powerful creator you are, and as you love yourself and love this baby that is being born through you, and you commit to that love and to how much you love it, and turn yourself on to how fortunate you are to love and be loved by this thing, that is the momentum, and you will never want to go back to bed when you are activated by that. You will never be in resistance. You will never be lethargic if you allow yourself to reactivate your love for it every single day.
So, Elaine, that is our answer to you. How do you stay energized, excited, and engaged? You start grounded, founded, powered in love. And from that place, you turn yourself on and come to it fully passionate, fully in life, and fully honored that you get to have that love affair.
Now, friends, if you want to go further in understanding this balance between momentum and resistance, or just finding balance in your relationships with yourself, your relationship with your dream, your relationships with other people, this is actually the online course that I'm about to start. We start on Tuesday, January 16th, all online. You can do it from anywhere around the world. You can do it in your pajamas. We are doing it at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, but wherever you are around the world, you can always listen in live, or you can listen back after the fact. This is a six-week online course, and we are going through the places that people get stuck in their relationship with their self or their relationship with other people when it gets out of balance, when we get into extreme energy. And I'm going to talk you through, from the perspective of the eight limbs of yoga, the yamas and the niyamas, how to find that balancing point so that you can keep on the path and not lose your love, not lose who you are. So if you are interested in that course, you can come to thecreateseries.com. It's under online courses, and there still are spaces available to sign up. So if you are interested in going deeper in this, friends, Let us dive in.
And who doesn't like going deeper?
Ooh, hey now.
Hey now. Now, on that note, if you have something you want to write, now, if you are a writer and you're like, I want to fall madly in love with the idea inside of me, and my particular passion is when you have a project that's been knocking at you for a long time, it's been at your soul, it's been saying, write me, write me, write me, and maybe the idea of writing is scary to you, or maybe you've started and you've quit, and you want to be in a place where you can get engaged on your idea, where you can write from your soul, when you can get your inner critic out of your mind. I have my new online writing class starting at the end of this month. You get to tune in once a week and see my pretty face. It's on Wednesdays. You can also watch it back as well. We need your work in the world. We want it. We're hungry for it. It's time.
It's time.
It's time.
How fun would life be if you spent Tuesday nights with me and Wednesday nights with Kristen?
Who would you be by Thursday?
Who would you be by Thursday? What would you be doing by Thursday?
Oh, we know. Yes, we do.
And it seems like those two things would be a very, very perfect appetizer to the main course.
Oh,
the
delectable
creme de la creme, the about to happen first ever create retreat in Paris. Friends, if you thought being at an airport in JFK could be a good time, imagine the fun we can get into when we are at a petite boulangerie eating pâtisserie
or discotheca.
We're going to work on our French by then. Anyway, if we were eating the yummiest food in the place of love, in the place of romance, in the place of freedom of expression and joie de vie, how much fun could we have with John DeVisi? So we have, I think we're about halfway filled up for our retreat in Paris. So if you're interested, it might be time to take the plunge. We will help you find Airbnb roommates and help you with coordinating of all of those things.
If you want to talk to me about your wardrobe, I'm happy with that. Mm-hmm. We can talk about colors.
Mm-hmm. So it is going to be pleasure in Paris, desire, activation. This is a course that is needed if we want to live our fullest, expressed, most authentic life. So if you have any resistance, it probably means you should be there. And we invite you to come check out www.thecreateseries.com under retreats. And if you want further information, you can shoot us an email and we will send you some more information about the itinerary, what you can expect, where we're going to be. And we will already start falling in love with you.
On that note.
On that note.
Have a great time this week turning yourself on.
Bye.
If you want to know about the Create Workshop Series, you can go to
www.thecreateseries.com.
And if you want to know more about us, you can go to kristenhenge.com or
natalieroy.com.
And if you want to come to Create, you can go to
the Actors Green Room in New York City. And it is Sunday nights from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. and Tuesdays from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m.
And their website is www.theactorsgreenroom.com. And you can buy Create on demand if you don't live in New York City.
Woohoo!